Bob and Charlene Steinkamp, founders of Rejoice Marriage Ministries, invite you into their living room in Pompano Beach, Florida, for a telephone conference call. Let's join other men and women from across the land who are seeking God's restoration of their marriage.
We welcome you to our home in South Florida, and believe it or not, it's 69 degrees today, our first cold spell of the year. We're glad that you joined us, and thanks for giving up your Sunday afternoon for us. We pray that someone will have something to say that will help you.
We are thrilled to have everybody here.
Angela, as soon as I pray, I have a story to tell regarding your last name. Father God, we thank you for the system that you've given us that makes it possible that we all get together by telephone. Lord, we pray for the people who are participating today, and God, we pray for the people who are at home listening. May you comfort them. Father, we know what the weekends can be without a spouse, and for some without children. And God, may you just use this call to bring hope and encouragement. And Lord, I want to pray for any prodigals who have wandered in today. And God, let them know they're our special guests and they are really welcomed here. Be with Charlene, guide her and direct her as she leads. In Jesus' name I pray. Okay, Angela, you there?
I am.
We're not going to say your last name. But when we were divorced, I'd moved 20 miles one way and 100 miles another way, and there was a job opening that looked like a good opportunity for a funeral director in Orlando. And I went up there and applied, had an interview, and I thought, I have this in the bag. The man and I really connected. I thought he might be a Christian, but nothing was said. So at the end of the interview, he told me how well qualified I was and how much they'd like to have me on their staff. Then he said, but I'm not going to hire you. Along the way, I told him that I'd just gotten divorced. And he said, you need to be down there where your wife and kids are, not 200 miles away. So if I can help keep you down there, I'm not going to hire you. I wouldn't bring you up here. And then he added that he and his wife had gone through trouble at one time, and they had a restored marriage. I passed it off and didn't think much about it, but I did think a lot about it, on the other hand. And many years after we were remarried, I was at a conference, and I met the man coming down a hotel hall and right off the lobby. And he and I got to sit, and I got to share with him what had happened to us, that God had touched my wife's heart, and that he had had her standing and praying for me, and we'd been remarried. And he gets the greatest smile, and he says, I knew it would happen. So he never said, I've been praying for you. I know none of his details other than you and he share the same last name, okay?
Wow.
So be encouraged by that.
I will. Well, we're thrilled to have everybody here today, and we know that from the questions we have received that there are many of you that are still battling, are you supposed to stand? Are you supposed to pray for your spouse? How long do I have to wait? And all these basic, simple questions that are so difficult, because I had the same questions that you had back many, many years ago, because I didn't have an internet. I didn't have the resources that are available to you and to I now. So we are just understanding your problems, and we are just praying that today, this hour and a half, is going to give you hope and encouragement from your Lord, and know that there are other people doing the same thing, and we're doing what the Lord is commanding us and is really telling us in the Bible. But let me open up with a scripture, and it says, the Spirit of the Lord in Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And there are one or two people out of all of these 50 to come to 100 to 150 people that are going to be joining us that are really are brokenhearted. They feel desperate. They feel hopeless. They feel like their heart is broken in two, and they feel like the pain is just never going to go away. Well, I want you to know that you need to go to the Lord. You need to get on your knees every day or lay in bed when you go to bed and get up in the morning and say, Lord, heal my wounded, broken heart. You're the great physician. You're the one that put the balm of Gilead on me, and I need you to heal me first, because I need to be able to stand and be able to provide for my children. I need to be able to provide for myself. I need to know what you want me to do. I need your guidance, your direction, your wisdom, your knowledge. And there is no one, no, not even a pastor or a counselor, that can tell you what the Lord wants you to do. We can guide you. We can give you scriptures. But the Lord can speak. And that is what I found out. God does speak. And so I pray that all the ones that are so hurting today, so doubting and are scared to believe that God can heal and restore and resurrect any marriage, God can do it. And so I just pray that you will not ever give up. And the ones that have children, that was even more reasons, because you do not want to leave the legacy and have the burden of your children coming from divorced parents when it says the sins of the fathers will be passed on to the third or fourth generation. You know what? That was a reason, one more reason for me to be able to say, I put the cross and the blood of my Lord Jesus Christ that we will not have divorce attack our family any longer with our children or for our grandchildren, because Bob's grandfather divorced his mother, his wife. And there was the beginning of the divorce coming upon and passing it on to the next generation. So we just need to understand we need to fight for God's best. So he wants to heal the brokenhearted, and it says to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. And your spouse has been tempted. Like Eve was tempted by Satan in Genesis, you know what? Your spouse was tempted by, it could have been by adultery, it could have been anger, bitterness, rage, alcohol, drugs, it can be anything. But you know what? One of us, and both of us, and Bob and my, and I think all marriages, if we look at ourselves and the Lord starts examining us, he shows us where we failed in our marriages. We may have brought in a lot of issues from our children, from our own child's life, from being a child, and we may have brought in a lot of sin in our own life, and we just didn't know how to deal with it, to be husband and wife and meet the other spouse's needs. You know what? We're very selfish people, and a lot of people get married and they want to stay selfish, and we don't want to care for the other person, and we don't want to make the marriage what God wanted it to be. The Lord said in Genesis chapter 2, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. We need to understand right there is the beginning of why are we standing, why are we fighting for our marriage? Because we are one flesh. Because what God has put together, it says in Mark chapter 10, in verse 5, it was because I'll start with verse 4, and I'll go back one verse more. It says in Mark chapter 10, verse 4, they said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law, Jesus replied. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God's joined together, let man not separate. So don't let the enemy, don't let man, don't let a situation, don't let adultery, don't let alcohol or the sins of your spouse make you give up. But remember the covenant and the vow that you made when you got married. And that's where we got to go. We need to have that foundation. We need to understand that when we got married, will you take this husband, this wife, for your to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death do us part. We need to remember that God is able to do anything. And we need to remember the vows we made. And I just wanted to encourage all of you. So many of you do not know the scriptures of the Bible when you get started to start standing. And in Malachi chapter 2, it says, God says, I hate divorce. He doesn't hate anything else in the Bible, but he hates divorce. So I just pray you will go to our Charlene Cares, our You can go into our search, and you can look up all these different devotionals and get all this information, all these different scriptures, and you can type hopeless or any number of pain, and you can get all these different devotionals to help you learn all this and how you can stand in faith and hope and trust in your Lord. But we're just thrilled to have Angela here. We're thrilled to have Scott here. And we just want to welcome them, and we're going to just start hearing a little bit about them, to introduce themselves, share their testimony, just a little bit of who they are and their family, and how they came to know the Lord, and especially, how did they start finding and praying for their spouse. But we are thrilled to have them, and we are going to continue on, but I just want to encourage you all, don't give up on your husband or your wife, because if we give up on our husband or wife, or does that mean when your child gets in trouble, or becomes a teenager, or becomes a young adult, are you going to give up on them also? Oh no, don't give up on the prodigals. Read Luke 15. Remember what the prodigal father did. And I hope you have a great time. Angela, I'll introduce you first. We're thrilled to have you.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was married for... Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. I was married for 18 years. My husband left last year. We've been divorced almost 6 weeks. The final 6 weeks ago, we have two teenage children. The oldest one is 19. And, okay, my youngest one is 17, and she's having a really hard time with it. But we're learning and growing every day and just praising God and standing on His promises.
Now, Angela is what we would call a new stander in the way that she is. She has just gotten divorced. She's just gone through that pain and the suffering, and she just found us when we found her, and she found us within March of this year. So we wanted her to be especially on here because she is where some of you are, where it's so new and so raw, and she's going through the circumstances, but she's also got the children going through the pain and the suffering of not having dad there and trying to understand what's gone on with the why dad doesn't want to be with them. And we just praise the Lord that she's with us today. And Scott, we're thrilled to have you all.
By the way, Angela lives in Alabama, in case you couldn't tell.
Oh,
now, Scott lives in Florida, but he's close enough to Alabama. He lives in South Alabama, I guess.
He's in the panhandle, I think.
Yep, that's what they call it. That's what they call it up here.
Well, so, we're thrilled to have you. Tell us a little bit about you, Scott.
Okay. Well, my wife, we've been married for almost about 7 years. I wasn't a Christian during our marriage, and my wife was, but I played a big role in kind of pulling her away from the church because of my attitudes about God and religion and stuff like that. My wife, she left pretty abruptly about 18 months ago. We have one son who's 8 years old. He lives with me. He lives with me during the school year, so that's a blessing in itself. During our separation, the amount of our communication has progressively kind of dwindled down to pretty much nothing. We're not divorced. It's kind of a slow process. It is in the works, but it wasn't a quick divorce or anything. Charlene often talks about the wall of silence, and that's one thing that I understand quite a bit. There's a lot of secrecy, and with that comes a lot of the enemy comes in, and he uses your imagination against you, and he can cause some damage or stuff like that. Like everyone out here, my wife leaving me obviously devastated me. It broke me down all the way. Initially, when it first happened, I didn't know what happened. She left suddenly without notice, and I went up to my son's school to kind of find out what happened the next day, and I walked in the principal's office and I asked them if they knew anything, and they said, well, didn't you know he's leaving? And I kind of broke down at that point. So the principal called me in the office and he talked with me, and he told me, he related a story. Him and his wife separated for a short period of time, and one of the first things he said, he says, I don't know where you stand with God, but now's a good time to hit your knees and ask for some forgiveness. And that made a big impact. It took a few weeks for me for it all to kind of to work in. But that's someone giving their testimony in a very small, like, it just, he just mentioned it or whatever, but it made a big difference. So since all this has gone on, God has made himself known to me in a very personal, obvious way. I've been growing a great deal as a Christian, as a new Christian, and I've gotten to share my stand with several people who have been going through the same type of situation as me. So I guess it's been a long, hard time, but God definitely uses it to help grow you and stuff. So thank you for having me on here, Emma. I'm pretty glad to be here with y'all.
Well, we're thrilled to have you, and we're thrilled both of you are into this, you know, as a new people. But, you know, Scott, exactly what happened to you has happened to so many, many young couples when they get married. There's two people that, A, they were neither Christians, or there is a couple that they're one person knew the Lord, or they were raised in a Christian family, and the other person did not know the Lord, and they still got married unequally yoked. And there's so many different scenarios that I could go into that where even two people that were raised in Christian homes, that once they get into their own home, they just don't have a spiritual guidance and the leadership of the husband being the head of the house spiritually, and they don't come up to that. And so a lot of our marriage problems end up where we put the Lord second, third, fourth, or maybe not at all into our marriage. And sometimes, and when we go into the flesh and we just do it as the world's way, you know, all of a sudden things do happen. And so we just praise the Lord that you were able to do it.
You know, Sterling, what Scott just shared sounds like what I shared, where we had no one came looking for us to tell us to get straightened out, but just in the course of everyday activity, he had a school principal, and I had a man where I was applying for a job that both put the bug in us about marriage restoration. And don't you think that's happening to every prodigal spouse and a lot of standers where just going through the day they hear?
Well, you know, this, what happened to Scott is what I am so excited about, and I pray every day that, and what we teach is that somebody will just have that 30-second, 50-second, 1 or 2 minutes, or somebody at work or at church or wherever you may be, or if you overhear a conversation, you can pull out a business card, pull out anything and say, here's a ministry, here you can go to the internet. You know what? It doesn't make a commitment to you, but it's a piece of paper that they can find help and hope. And if they never go for 3 or 6 months because they stick it in their billfold, and God will have it come out. And you know what? There's resources. And people find us by putting stop divorce or filing for divorce. And because of our web administrator and my husband, they have words that they find us by accident, and it's no accident. And Scott, for what I know, you can't say it yet, but I believe you're going to come to the point to say that this was worth it all, to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to be able to say you are now have a Christian home, and you already know your wife knows the Lord. And so may I remind you that, as it says in Luke, and Angela, I'm going to just jump into you, your husband does or does not know the Lord Jesus Christ?
Does not.
Does not. And that's what I thought. So there are some of you saying, well, my spouse never knew the Lord. Well, it doesn't matter. You know what? That's what we're praying for every day for the spouse. But the ones that do know the Lord, like Scott's wife, that knew the Lord, that had that relationship, and that was my husband's situation. I want to read you Luke chapter 15 and verse 3. It says, then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep. I found the lost husband or wife who who had gone astray. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. And Scott, and all of you that are listening, whose spouse was on fire, who were deacons, were ministers, were youth pastors, were worship leaders, were Sunday school teachers, and there's so many of you that write and say that, my spouse was on fire for the Lord, and then suddenly, the enemy, there was a crack in our house, there was a crack somewhere, the hurricane storm came in and wiped your home and your foundation of your home, and it was devastated. And your spouse, you know, just turned and left. And Scott, and all of you people, don't ever give up. This is a scripture you need to hang on. And there's many more in Ezekiel and all throughout the Bible that the Lord says, I will go after the lost sheep. I will pick them up. And remember him being the shepherd. So, Scott, you know what? You just keep praying, and I know you're learning, but we cannot encourage you enough to pray scriptures. And this is a super scripture to pray with your spouse's name in them. And for Angela, for the ones that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and I also keep saying, you know, I've been writing it, I think, in about two or three times every week in different ways, is Acts 26:18, that we are praying that all of the sinners, the ones have not known the Lord Jesus Christ ever as a personal relationship or ever as Savior, that you, the Lord, will open their eyes and turn them from the darkness to light, and that's Acts 26:18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan, it says it right there, to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. We need to understand how it says in Acts 16:31, which is an awesome story about Paul and Silas being put in prison because they were preaching the gospel. And they started singing and praising the Lord at midnight. And they didn't know what else to do, and they were in prison. And you know what? When you don't know what else to do, and you are just so discouraged, so defeated, turn on a CD, turn on praise music, whether a country southern gospel.
No, I was
music.
Thinking something else.
Oh.
Stop.
Oh, I forgot, Bob. Sorry. Turn on, go on the internet, and put on Stop Divorce, because we have, I'm just woke
Stop
me up.
Divorce Radio.
But you can just click on our website, click on it, you put make it a favorite for yourself, and there you have music and teaching combination. And many of our young people, our young standers, are filling themselves up with that. It's free, you can do it, and it's there. But turn on, and what Paul and Silas did, they started praising the Lord, and in Acts 16, and it says, suddenly, verse 26, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And at once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. And the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for the lights. He rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas, and he then brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He knew that God had done something powerful because these were two men of God. They had been preaching the gospel. People believe that if your spouse does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in 1 Corinthians, they're sanctified. They're made holy because of your relationship with the Lord. And we need to know that the Lord wants your spouse saved. That's why he died on the cross for all sinners. So we need to remember that it's in verse 31, they answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." And his whole household accepted the Lord Jesus Christ that night. And he fed them and everything and bathed them. But I want you to understand, you know, some people would say, "Well, my spouse is not a Christian." Well, that's why we're standing and we pray for salvation every day. We talk about it on Sunday especially, and we ask you to please pray for all the pastors around the world that they would have people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that there would be a mighty harvest. We're praying for a revival for the United States and around the world. But you're a link to this. God's chosen you. I believe that with all my heart. Angela, how did you know that you know? How did you come to the point that you knew you were supposed to stand and pray for your husband?
Just the desire to pray and stand for him was just so strong. I couldn't shake it. I still can't shake it. And there were times where
I didn't want to shake it.
No. I would go through periods where I didn't want to. I was tired. And I couldn't stop. God won't let me stop.
And I think when we do get weary and tired, and we try to shake it, and all of a sudden, you know, we end up thinking, I can't do it. It's okay. I can get on with my life. I can listen to the counselors and everybody and get on and move on and just start dating and doing another relationship. We don't even realize what that's going to do to your children who are 17 and 19, or they may be 3, 4, and 5, or your 8-year-old son. You know, they've already got enough stress and everything. But to bring in two sets of different people into their lives, their whole world is shaken. And I think what the Lord is saying, let me be your spouse for this season. Mm-hmm. Let me be their father or mother for this season. And let's put stability in your relationship and that I'm going to provide and help you through it. Now, Angela, that's I know with you with teenagers, it's not easy. I know we had Tim who was 16 and Lori was 13 and Tom was 6. And it was difficult with the teenagers because they understood a lot more than they probably needed to understand. And it's very difficult to understand why all of a sudden the values and everything, that I'm not worth enough to stay home with mom, you know. So, but, you know, we need to fight for our children and pray for them and help them understand. It's a good time to start teaching them how real God really is.
It is, but how do you do that with teenagers who are so angry at the situation that they're angry at you too?
Number one is we got to pray for their salvation. If they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to pray for their salvation. There are awesome devotional books that are very basic for teenagers and for all ages. And if anything, I would start with doing a simple devotional at supper time or at bedtime or just sometime in the morning, breakfast time, whatever is good, and have it be a very practical devotional book that you can find in Christian bookstores, and start teaching them the basics of what the Word says, of different stories, that they can apply it to their own life. And when they have peer pressure at school, you're going to be able to say, tell me and let's pray about it. And God's going to start answering prayers for them and going to show them that God is going to deal with this. So we've got to say, you know, right is right and wrong is wrong, but we still have to say, you know, dad or mom have made some bad choices, but we're going to pray that God's going to speak to them and have them come back. And then you can even share our testimony. You can share all these different people's testimonies that you read on the Internet and other ways to teach them the power of God. And you know what? It's hard to understand that as a teenager, especially in this society now, but, you know, we can do it. Scott, how's your son doing? Has he able to be a believer and believe that you're praying for mom, or is he still needing guidance with this?
He's doing very well. We talk often about the situation, and I notice with him sometimes he gets discouraged too. Sometimes he loses his hope. He feels a little bit not sure about the future, and he doesn't see how everything's going to get back together. But I just push that up to God. I push that to him, and I say, you know, God's going to do. He's going to do right by us, you know. We believe in him, we're trusting in him, and even though we don't understand why things are the way they are right now, we know that eventually he's going to use this for good in some way or another. And
right.
just get him to trust in it, because, I mean, if his faith is in God, God's not going to do us wrong. I mean, his promise is there. He's gonna take care of us and do what's best for us. And lots of times it's hard to, now for him and me especially, and lots of folks, it's hard to reconcile all this, like, because it's suffering. It's hard to reconcile.
Well,
the suffering.
And the pain and the suffering and the separation and the divorce, and this is why so many of you that are listening are going through this, is that we are a society where we want to be healed and we want to get this pain and suffering. We're an instant society where if I want to fix dinner tonight, I can go through a drive-thru and have a full meal, course meal, very quickly and easily, and I didn't spend a lot of time preparing it. And the whole Bible is not on quickness, on a sudden, you know, it's more a battle. I want to make sure everybody understands, and we need to teach our children this. We must teach our children this. This is a spiritual battle. The enemy is coming in to steal, kill, and destroy the family. In fact, our pastor today said it in the sermon today, and I'm Bob and I are so blessed, is that God created the family, but he said Satan will try to destroy the family and the relationship every day he possibly can. The battleground is marriage is a battleground for the enemy, and he is constantly trying to take us on detours from the paths of righteousness, the paths of holiness, a path of Christ-likeness every day. And what's happening is people, and especially Christians now, are compromising the biblical values of what marriage is, right from wrong, you know, and doing all these things. We're waving and leaning toward the world's way. And so the home is under attack. Our marriages are under attack. And we have to know how to fight the enemy. That's why back just a week or two ago, I did a teaching on it, because on a Monday night Bible study, I asked however many people are putting on the armor of God. How many are putting on the hedge of protection around you? And how many are putting the blood of Jesus over us? Now, I never knew that back 25 years ago, but I learned fast, because when you get desperate, you start reading the Bible and start learning as quickly as you can, because you want to know what you're supposed to do. And this is a spiritual battle, and you are in a war, and you are a soldier of Jesus Christ, and you have to know your weapons. And that's what I did a little series on it and gave you scriptures for it. So that's why we do the devotionals daily, to help teach you and learn all of this. And it is a spiritual battle, and we need to teach our children that they need to know this. The children need to know that there is going to be temptations, especially from 13 years on up. You're going to be tempted to drink something, eat something, smoke something, or go do something that is wrong, and there's right from wrong, and you've got to think, my mom and dad's going to kill me, or no, God says we shouldn't be doing this, and we have to teach them to walk away from the peer group or from the clique that's taking you right down the wrong way. And this is why we so strongly want you to get your children to understand the Bible, and not just be the one doing it, and then your kids just go on. They need to understand what you're doing. They need to understand you're praying and believing for a miracle. So when the mom or dad walk into the house, they see and believe, and they and are praying and are excited and know that it's going to be an adjustment period. So Hosea is an excellent book of the Bible you guys all could read, where Hosea was told to love his wife who was an adulteress. And in Hosea chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, I'm going to read this to you because I know there's one out of all these people that are listening that says, doesn't know the scripture, and it's Hosea 2, verse 6. It says, therefore I will block her path with thorn bushes. Well, I put Bob's name in there. And I will wall her or him in so that they cannot find their way. They will chase after their lovers, but not catch them. She will look for them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband as at first, for then I was better off than now. And then it goes on in chapter 3, Hosea chapter 3, verse 1, it says, the Lord said to Hosea, go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. love her as the Lord loves the Israelites. And I'm telling you, the Lord gave me those scriptures, and he said, I want you to love Bob. I don't care what he's doing, with who, I want you to love him unconditionally. And that is where all of you people need to say, how can I do it? By that unconditional love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Romans chapter 12. We need to bless those who persecute you. We need to forgive. And that's the biggie. You have to walk through the forgiveness. Scott, Angela, how are you doing on forgiveness? Angela, I'll pick on you first.
I'm doing pretty well. I think that's probably one of the amazing things is he left at the end of September last year. I was angry for about a week, maybe two, and then I couldn't be angry because I knew it wasn't him. Satan had him, and he was, that's not my husband. So I can't be angry or bitter, and I really try not to focus on anything, and I just say, well, you know, Satan's got a hold of him, and he's making him do it.
Well, that's an awesome way of doing it, and knowing that, and that's where sometimes that helps us out and keeps us in the proper perspective, you know, and one of everybody will say, well, he's got his free will, or she's got her free will. And the Lord gave me 2 Timothy 2, 22-26. I'll just read 26, and it says, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. And that shows clearly that the enemy tempts us to fall into sin, to do things we should not do. And that the Lord is going to go after them and rescue them. And that's throughout the Bible. The Lord rescued the Israelites. He rescued Daniel. He rescued David, killed the giant Goliath. And you know what? That's what we're praying for, that God is going to use us to kill the giant of divorce. But we've got to believe and stand and never give up and believe that we can do just what happened with Scott, that somebody will, like a principal or anybody, will be able to say, you know what? God's got the answer. You've got to get on your knees and pray. What?
Can I jump in for a second?
Positively.
I heard a chorus this morning. It was new to me. You might know it. Greater things are still to come. Greater things are yet to be done in this city. And you know, we could transpose it and say, greater things are still to come. Greater things are yet to be done in this family.
Amen.
Let's stay on free will for a second, honey.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, you know, we've got to understand that everybody says they have their own free will. There's nothing you can say, nothing you can do to change their choices. But we've got to remember God and the Holy Spirit has a million ways of speaking, and because of us praying and interceding and claiming the Word of God, where it says God's Word will not return void, that we pray scriptures with their names in it, that we can know that we know that God is greater than anything, and he has a million ways of speaking to them. You know, I cannot imagine, and I'm going to pick on Scott as an example, I cannot imagine how many times Scott's wife prayed for him to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there was that moment that he realized, you know, for all her prayers, she's got the answer to her prayers, but the enemy came in and tempted her, and she got tired and weary of their lifestyle or whatever. She was tempted. Whatever happened, it was of the enemy coming against them. And you know what? That marriage with that child, it's to be restored, and it's to be rebuilt on the solid rock of Jesus Christ.
You know, when the man I told you about in the beginning refused to harm me in Orlando, I had my own free will. I could have pushed the issue. And if I wanted to move to Orlando so badly, I could have probably found me another job. But I started back south on the turnpike for 2 hours saying, why did he say that? What does that mean? I didn't say God did it, but I'm thinking, why did he say that to me? Why did he happen to be in that situation? So God does not force a prodigal's free will. Like Charlene says, he has a million ways to change it, and he's doing it he did it to me day by day by day.
And you know, Bob, I think about it. If we can just be the lighthouse, if we can be the spokesmen, which each of us, you and I, all of us, every stander, their family members who are Christians, who are praying and praying with them, will all say, you know what, we're praying, we're doing this, and then speak it to other people. Just those short sentences and just that, the witness that we can share. You know how much we can help people? I mean, look what happened with Scott. It didn't happen instantly, but God used that to be, for him, a moment of truth to come to him. And it says in Proverbs chapter 16, is an awesome scripture that you all could read maybe some other time, but maybe devotions tonight. But Proverbs 16, verse 1, it says, to man belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. Verse 3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Verse 7, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Verse 9, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And so we just got to keep remembering that the Lord has a way of turning circumstances around and getting people to follow him, and especially when there's a husband or a wife fasting and praying and interceding for them. We must never, never give up. I think we've first got to understand, and I think Angela and Scott have had to come to the point, is that marriage is a covenant. It's not a contract. We made vows before God in a church or any wherever it was. If it was at the beach, if it was in a pavilion, God was there at the Justice Department. Whether you knew he was there or not, he was there because he created marriage. And we've got to understand that we have a vow. We have made a covenant. We have a marriage. And we need God, and you are the majority. And you're going to win if we just don't give up. And that's what all of a sudden, somewhere during my stand, the Lord convicted me when Bob started talking and planning wedding plans. He said, you know what? You're still here with your wedding rings on. I want you to wait for your husband to come home until you're 80. I don't want you to ever think about bringing another man, date another man, expose your children to this. I want you to stand and wait, because if your husband divorced you, if your husband is unfaithful to you, he'll be unfaithful to her, and to on and on and on. He said, you stand firm with what I've told you to do. And I think that's what you got to, Scott and Angela, you have to come, and all of you people that are listening, you got to come and make it, you have to draw a line and say, this is where I'm going to do. I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. And you know what? That's the point where you and I come into it. It comes into our spiritual walk is, are we willing to pick up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Angela, or Scott, any comments?
Oh, I'd just like to say, from what you were just saying before, I think obedience is the prime thing. Lots of times, situations, they spin your emotions around, but just knowing that God has spoken during some point in your stand when you've asked them, and just being obedient to that. Sometimes it doesn't always feel like things are going the way they should be, but obedience is such a huge thing for me, because it's really everything right there. It's God has spoke in the past, just like he spoke to Abraham at the beginning, and he gave him his promises. Abraham had to wait a very long time before that came to fruition, and that's the same thing that we're all given. God, because I was converted essentially at the beginning of my stand, and God spoke very loudly, and he made it very obvious what he was expecting out of me, and that kind of tapered off a little bit, but I know what God's expecting, and I know that I'm continuing to walk in the right path, and that's, like I say, obedience is a prime thing, and that's why I feed a lot off of what you have to say in your daily devotionals, because they're very straightforward, and they talk about obedience, and they draw the line where the Bible draws the line, And that's an important thing.
I think we have to know the Bible, and we have to understand the scriptures, and our lack of knowledge, it says in Hosea 14:6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. That's why I divorced my husband, for my lack of knowledge, of not understanding the permanence of marriage and how strong it is and how our children need a mother and a father. And you know what? God can turn this all around to good. And I didn't understand it, and I didn't know it, and I didn't get the right counsel. And you know what? You can't blame other people for why you did what you did. You got to take the responsibility for yourself and say, you know what? I didn't listen to God. I didn't seek God. I didn't obey God. But Deuteronomy 28 in the Old Testament talks about obedience, blessings for obedience or the curses for disobedience. And they're night and day of what you're going to get. And we need to know that. And then you can go to the New Testament, and the Lord, you know, says, pick up your cross and follow me. And this is where, you know, we have to say, are you a Christian? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? As Scott has had that experience when he wasn't a Christian, when his wife, she left. Has he surrendered? Have you surrendered your life, your children, your finances, your work, all your hobbies, and most of all, your marriage to the Lord? And now allow him to fix and mend and bring back to life what appears to be a dead marriage. God's calling every one of us. He's calling you. Every one of you that are listening, he's calling you to follow him. He has a divine plan to restore and resurrect your dead marriage. But you need to listen to him.
Let me ask you two things, okay?
Okay.
My, I don't know, criteria for a sermon has always been, what did he say that's going to help me make it through the next week? And you know from experience, honey, and I've been told about how miserable Sunday afternoons can be when the kids are coming or going, or the spouse is dropping them off, and all the stuff we went through. What would you say to everyone who's listening, to give them something practical to help make them through? Now, not a Bible verse, just heartfelt from Charlene. What can you say to help the person listening make it through the next week? How's that for blindsiding? I think they need to hear it, though.
I cannot tell you how many times I cried. I cannot tell how much. I know the pain that you guys are going through. I cannot tell you the pain's going to stop. The pain's going to come and go. You're going to, I know right now that October, November, and December are going to probably be the hardest next 3 months that you're going to face. And we're praying for you all to pray and fast for a lot of miracles of marriages to be restored through this period of time. But I want you to know that I've cried, and I cried for my kids. I cried that they had to go through all the exposure of what they were being exposed to with another woman and their children, and they were blending families and having parties and fun, and I was here with no money, barely able to pay the bills, and having to turn off the air conditioner, and I know what it's like, and that's why we do this on Sunday afternoons, because I know that it's lonely, and the loneliness the enemy will use and say, you need somebody to hold you, to love you. But I'm telling you that Jesus is real. The Holy Spirit is real. And I would get on my knees, and I finally said, Lord, you just have to help me through this. And I would go outside, and I would either work in the garden and pray, or I would just get and have, you know, how many people would say to us, if I could only have time alone without the kids driving me crazy and all, and I would just say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do this weekend? Or just have a little mini thing, or go with somebody or do something. Ask the Lord, what do you want me to do this weekend when I don't have the kids? Should I do something for me? Should I fix up the house? Should I paint? You know what? I fixed our bedroom. I painted it, and I redid the bedroom. I mean, I wasn't Miss perfect.
Are you going to say it hasn't been painted since?
And I was just going to say, probably hasn't painted since.
No.
No, but, you know, you got to get practical. You either go for walks or exercise, but you've got to be able to keep your mind focused. And like Scott said, and I know Angela is doing the same thing, the battle for your mind where the devil says, do you know what they're doing now? Do you know what they're doing now? I bet they're doing this.
That right and there is the part where I do not know how our standards do it. What I did to you, I do not know how any of them can do it, honey.
And my husband would just always just happen to drop off the kids with her in the car or tell them, end up, you have to save the kids, have a good time, and they just run off with what they were did and all of this, and it's stabbing
yet
you
at
in the
same
heart.
Time, they run off what all they did, but their heart's broken inside.
Exactly. So we understand and know that, but you've got to say, I came to the point that it was God in me, and I couldn't make it without him. And it's, you know what I found out ever since that day, and is that it's the Lord in me. And you know what? It's the Lord in me now when I get sick or Bob gets sick. You know what? I don't pick up the phone and call 25 prayer partners. I go to the Lord and say, okay, here's this problem, or here's my child's problem, or here's my grandchild's problem, a physical problem. You know what? Your whole life is going to, you're going to be a different person for the rest of your life, and you're going to be used mightily. There's people in churches. There are widows. There are so many people that are lonely that need somebody, and God can use you in your church or in somewhere to keep your mind going and still be able to serve the Lord. And Angela, how have you done it?
Honey, excuse me. Angela, before you do that, God, finish my two-part question.
Sure.
Charlene?
Okay.
Something you and I were talking about earlier today. What? I feel that often things that I write and things that you write are shooting over the head of the new standards. When Scott first became a Christian, if he had found us and started reading things, what can we do to get standards started right, where they're not being, it's like a treadmill, you know, where you get on and increase the speed gradually, not where it's running full speed and then you jump on it because it's going to flip you off. So what can we do? I'm sure there are people listening today, someone's thinking, wow, this is, I don't know what they're talking about. So what would you say to a person whose spouse is left, they're trying as best they know how, God bless them, to pray for God to bring the person back, but they feel like everything's above their head. Do you know what I mean?
I do. And I think that's why we have the question and answers. That's why we have the testimonies, just to give them the dessert first sometimes, to get them, give them hope of what God can do. I guess what I feel, Bob, is that you have to start reading in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
That's good.
Just go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the red in the Bible of what Jesus said.
And ask God to speak to you through what you read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John.
Exactly.
You don't have to be the champion prayer warrior, but the stander, and there are, any of us, for that matter, in our own house, can just ask God to guide us and to speak to us and to help us to grow, and there you go.
Well, you know, I can tell you, I was at so many times, and I think even now there are times when you have a crisis come in your life, and you will have it the rest of your life, and you say, God, I can't hear you. What do you want me to do? God, please speak to me. You keep praying that so God does speak to you, and you really get a scripture leap off the page, or God gives you something in a different way, or, you know, you see a billboard, or you see a license plate that has an answer. As you have all read, so many different ways that God does speak to each of you. Last week, there was a lady that wrote, and it was in this Saturday Testimonies. Some of you may not have read them yet, but she said she was ready, her husband had done something horrible, and she was so angry at him, and she was going to write him an email or call him up and chew him out and let him have it. And I could relate to that because I ran off at the mouth so many times, and that's why I wrote Zip the Lips. But you know what? She kept feeling convicted she shouldn't do it, so she opened up the devotional the next morning. It says, do not be angry, or do not sin, do not be angry. Anyway, the way the devotional was, it was the title that God just spoke to her, and that's the scripture that God kept bringing to her mind. And so, you know, I was going to read a scripture, person's email here. I didn't even...
Angela, I'm sorry I cut you off. We went the other direction.
But yeah, that's
she'll get back to you, promise.
I will. But that's there was a lady, and I know this is an average person. I fell down on my knees, and I started crying and praying for my husband and my marriage. I had been getting a hard heart, and I wasn't really standing strong. I would read your devotionals, but had let my husband go and was leaving everything to God. Oh, the letting go and letting God, all of a sudden I don't even pray or whatever. And I felt God was disappointed in me for not being able to stand strong. And then suddenly God touched her when she started seeking the Lord again and crying out for him. And that's what we got to know. Is, you know what? The devil's going to try to give us a hard heart. He's going to try to tell us, you know, forget it. And everybody else is going to tell you that too. And that's where we have to know that we know what God has told you. Like Scott said, Angela, pop in.
Yeah, I think you're right. There are times when my prayer life is kind of dry or a little flat, and you just have to ask God to just lift you up again and open your heart and just keep speaking to you and just lift you back up, and he will, and you'll be on fire again. And then, you know, you'll go for a good long time, and then Satan will get to you again, and you just do the same thing, and God always comes in and lifts you up and keeps you going.
That is so, so true. And he's going to keep tempting us the rest of our lives. And, you know, in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he warns that, he even warned Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter said, I'll go wherever you want me to go. And he said, in just a short time, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And would you ever think he would ever deny his Lord? But you know what? That's what we're doing. We're denying. Are we? I'm going to ask you. Do you think you're denying God's power when you start to give up on your marriage or start to say, I'm tired of praying? Are we not denying God's power of what and believing of what he can do for our marriage or for our children? You know, I think we have to become the pillars. We have to become the men or the man or the woman of God that our kids are looking at us and saying, wow, mom and dad have such faith. I want to be more like them. And that's where, you know what, if you don't teach it at home now, people, they're not going to learn it when they're 18, 20, and 25, and they got the world outside tempting them. We need to know that you have got a few years to do it. And like Angela right now, her kids are older, and they're teenagers. And they're not going to be as receptive to saying, Mom, I want to do devotionals. And you know what? She's got to say, kids, the enemy has come into our house, and we've got to get rid of the enemy, and we've got to learn this together, because you need to know it for your marriage and for your life. And if she doesn't put down the real strong roots of what she wants to teach them, you know, she's going to lose 2 more to the enemy. You know, it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says in verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, and that's just what you said you did, Angela and Scott, therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time, cast all your anxiety, cast all your worries on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled, and there's that discipline, and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And then it says, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while. Now, I don't know what that little while is going to be for each of you, okay? But for a little while will him himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power for glory forever and ever. Now that scripture is a powerful powerful scripture for all of you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Read that tonight and digest it and understand it, because that's that hope that you're going to be restored and you'll become strong, firm, and steadfast. Any comments?
I just like to say, from what you and Bob were talking about before about the new standers who lots of times, perhaps it was mentioned that your sight might go over their head or
yes,
something like that.
Yes.
I remember at the beginning of my stand, right after I was converted, I did wander across your site, and I didn't, for some odd reason, I didn't stay there. I didn't find any of the resources that I needed to. But at the beginning of my stand, a friend, they told me exactly what you guys said. They said, I bought a Bible, and someone happened to call me that day and said, you know what, I just want you to read the first chapter of John. And and that's such a good thing to do with a new Christian, because you come face-to-face with Christ and
exactly,
and what he says. And I read the whole book of John, and that ended up being what actually converted me.
Wow.
But soon after, I didn't find your site again for probably another 5 or 6 months, and I stumbled across it, and I said, hey, I remember going here before, and all of a sudden, the door just opened up, and I seen all the resources that you guys had available, and essentially, I wasn't ready to understand a lot of the stuff that you guys
weren't ready to start to stand yet, right?
No, not at all. I was starting, but I needed to grow a little bit, and God led me back to your site, and that's one thing we need to trust in Him at all times, is that even though we might not be ready for certain things at certain times, He's going to develop us and grow us as long as we're obedient, and that's where you guys come in and help everybody out.
You know, the neat thing for us about the Sunday afternoon calls once a month is getting to hear people just like you, Scott. And, you know, we can email back and forth and we can express, but there's nothing like hearing a person express where they're coming from, what their needs are, that you really feel like you know them.
Amen. It's so awesome, especially to hear two people that you come to know the Lord. Angela, when did you accept the Lord? Were you on fire? Were you really strong in the Lord when your husband left? What was your relationship with the Lord at that time compared to now?
Well, I had grown up in a Christian home with strong Christian parents, got married to an unbeliever, and just kind of fell away, and had always prayed, but didn't have the relationship until my husband left. And then I'm just on fire. And I never knew him like this before, and I'm at the point where I'm thankful that my husband left, because I wouldn't be here now.
Okay.
I wouldn't have that relationship with God if my husband was still home.
So you cried out, you just bowed down on your knees crying out for help from the Lord when he left, after he left.
Right. Because I had grown up in the home with Christian parents, I knew where to turn. And so that's what I did.
And you know what? That's the secret. You know, it's often the crisis that the Lord allows us to have it happen to us. He did not create it. He did not create the evil in it, but he allowed it to happen to turn it around to good and for him to bring you back into that personal relationship, one that you even have never known as strong as it is now. That's what now you want your children to have, to get that strong relationship and that personal relationship. So you're not only praying for one's your husband, but for them to have a strong relationship. And that's what you're working on day to day with them, and to explain it and to do it. And you know what? One may get it really fast and quickly, and another may take a while. They may think you're crazy, but you know what? You've got to take them to church or to youth groups or whatever they will go with and try to get them involved in praying that they do it. Our kids are the victims of divorce. Bob and I get so upset and disturbed about, we see our own children with having to work with their mother and fathers, and how important it is to have two parents. God created it that way. We wouldn't have any children if it wasn't that way. And we need both mom and dad. Mom is one way and dad's another, and they're both needed to be with that. And we hear from people standards, and there's some of you that are shaking your heads right now because your husband or wife left, as with Scott, and there's silence, and often they not only divorced you, but they separated from the children. It's the responsibility of being a parent, and they disappeared, and they're silent, and the kids don't have that parent at all. And the pain and the suffering of that silence, of the children not having that, I believe my children had to go through a lot with that other person, but it was better for them to see their father and still have that relationship and still have him call and check on them than it was to have nothing. Now, he was not the perfect father, believe me. He often, in fact, our kids will say he took them to more places with the other person than he ever did with them.
Well,
you know?
A new broom sweeps clean. Honey, I want, you know, there may be a person listening and they're not real sure what we're talking about. They've heard some coming to the Lord or a relationship with Christ or being saved. I want to give them some real easy information to find. If you'll go to our webpage, rejoiceministries.org, and now this is not an advertisement, but go to rejoiceministries.org, and right in the center there's some banners that rotate through. They're two-thirds the width of the page, and there's one about radio and book and different things. And if you'll wait until the one comes that has really a yellow sticky on it, and it says, "A message for you, the greatest news." And if you'll wait for that yellow sticky and click on that banner, it'll take you to a page that will explain what we're talking about this afternoon.
Amen.
So it's rejoiceministries.org, and in the center, wait for the yellow sticky that says, "A message for you or most important."
Angela, did you have a question that you wanted to ask, or have you think that many people might be wondering? I know that there's so many people that have questions, but I thought I'd ask you too if you have any questions or questions that you would think would help somebody else also.
Well, I think my biggest concern right now is my children, and my youngest has shared her doubts about God and what he can do, and I don't know how to deal with that, so if you have some insight.
Well, do you go to church now? Are you involved in a church right now?
Yes.
And do they have a youth group?
Yeah, and she goes to youth group, but she'll tell me, "I don't know how much of this God stuff I believe, and I don't think he can do all you say he can do." And, I mean, how do you...
You just keep speaking it, and you keep, you know, try to do a devotion with her, or try to find a devotional book that talks about the power of God, and start praying. You know, there's actually books that we can pray, that you can find, that says prayers that you can pray for with your children's name in it. I would get one of those, and that is where you're just going to be interceding for her, and pray for you. She knows your heart, and she's being tempted by the enemy to doubt his power. And there are kids that are telling their mothers from 13 on, if not sometimes a little bit younger, that "I don't believe there's a God. You know, I just don't believe God's going to answer, or he allowed this, and I don't believe there's a God that does this." So there's not only your daughter or any one child, but there's a lot of teenagers that are at that very vulnerable age that are really wondering if God is really real and all of that. And that's where you just have to say, "Can I pray for you?" And just say short prayers with her, and keep praying that even her things at school, Allison, our oldest granddaughter, who is almost 13, came in today into my office before we started, and she says, "Grandma, will you pray for me? Will you do something for me this week when you have time?" And I didn't know what. She didn't want to interrupt me. "When you have time, I know you're busy." And I said, "What, Allison?" She said, "Will you pray for me Monday and Tuesday, because we have basketball tryouts, and I really want to get on the team." And I said, so I stopped instantly, and I said, "Let me just pray for you right now." And I put a yellow sticky on my computer to remember to pray for her Monday and Tuesday. And that's what we got to do. We got to say to them, "Where are you hurting? What are you doing? What's going on? And let me pray for your things that are going on every day at school," and be real with them, and not just God, but and praying for their real needs, their homework, their difficult subjects, their friends that are being not nice to them, and make it real to them. and maybe that'll help you also. But and just keep praying and talk to the youth pastor maybe privately and say, you know, do you have a book or two that would be good for her to read or something?
Okay. Thank
you. Any questions or any thoughts?
Let me see here. Prayer is a hard thing for me to do. Like you're an excellent prayer, Charlene. Like you can go on and stuff. And lots of times, like when I pray, when I pray personal prayers, I end up lots of times it's in pain, and I'll ask God why and stuff. But I do like your suggestions, like your Psalm 51 suggestion, praying scripture with people's names in there.
Yeah.
I rely on that. I don't use my wife's name in Psalm 51. I always say we, because I feel very strange just praying against her, because I'm just as sinful as everybody else. I do everything that she does wrong. I'm doing those exact same things wrong.
You know
wrong.
What, Scott? I pray all our kids' names and family name in all these scriptures with prodigals and standards, and I say we, they. I agree with you totally.
Mm-hmm. I think for some people it is difficult to pray. I think I'll become better at it as I progress in my Christian walk a little bit. But if you could just review some of the, just like Psalm 51, that's an awesome thing to pray. And I think if there's people out there like me who do have difficulty praying, if you can just review some of the scriptures, like your key scriptures.
Well, you know, Ephesians 1, verses 17 to 20, Bob is probably going to be able to tell you where it is, but it's at the bottom of the very bottom of our...
Yeah, I was going to look for it now.
The bottom of our website, the very front page, it says Personalized Scriptures, I believe is what it's called. And you can click on that, and you actually can type in your spouse's name and your name. Now, there's only a few, and now you've really convicted me that I need to expand it, but you can put your... It'll be other scriptures that you can include your names in it. And actually, if you go... there's prayers that we have sent out and as devotionals, and if you maybe type pray for a spouse or something, you might even find a few scriptures under Charlene Tears under search, and you'll find those. But
no, Charlene, you're exactly right. It's at the bottom of the page, and all the inline links, the blue links that are all in a row underneath the banner, Personalized Scriptures, and you'll find some more down there. There's prayers of our children, prayers for our hurting family, and they're all in alphabetical order. You can find a lot of helps down there.
So it's a very, very bottom. It's the very bottom of our page, of the first page of the website. And that's an excellent
ministries.org.
And that's an excellent, Scott, because I felt, in fact, we did a CD, Are Your Prayers Working? It's a 3 CD set, because I have always felt like you feel, and I still feel inadequate, Scott, that I don't pray like some other of these prayer warriors that I, you know, older people that I get with, and they'll just, oh, you know, I just can feel the presence of the Lord when they pray. You know, I always
feel...
Wait
a minute, honey. Nobody's complaining about your praying, okay?
No, I know, but I'm saying I always feel inadequate 25 years later, Scott, so don't feel lonesome.
Oh,
if I could just say one more thing, too.
Yeah.
Psalm 51, we were talking about anger and forgiveness, and at times when I am angry, like overwhelmingly angry, and I can't get myself to calm down, that is one of the tools that Charlene has taught me, and I challenge anyone to go out and just pray Psalm 51. You can be really mad at your spouse and just pray it using their name or we or regardless, and it truly does. It helps bring me down, and that's one thing that I've gotten from Charlene that's helped out a great deal. And it's proof that God's word does it does something, because forgiveness
does.
It's a difficult thing to conjure up in ourselves, but if we rely on God and we push it up to Him, and that's a way to channel some of that down to us, it truly does work.
Ephesians 4 is another scripture where you can turn in scriptures where you can... Ephesians 1, 3...
Oh, yeah, a lot of Ephesians.
A lot of Ephesians. There's a lot of scriptures you can personalize. But like I said, if it's not as conclusive as I think it is, I'll put some more in there next week or the week after, but we'll get that expanded for you guys.
You were talking about praying. Eddie is an older man. He's older than us. That makes him older. His father was a pastor, and he's been a bachelor all his life. And we met Eddie probably 12 or more years ago, maybe even 15. Eddie is our number one prayer intercessor for the ministry. Every, on the first Monday night when Charlene's teaching, Eddie's over in the corner praying. The healing prayer requests that we get after we read them, they go in a book, blue book for Eddie. Every time we have one of these conference calls, Eddie comes here and prays while we're on the phone. And I gave him the phone and asked him if he'd like to join us for prayer today. And speaking of prayer warriors, Charlene, I think he's the one you're talking about, maybe.
Yes, and he has just got a real heart for the Lord and is really has compassion for all these people.
If he just wouldn't cry so much. he has a heart of gold, and he gets brokenhearted over what most of our people go through.
Right. Well, I tell you, you know what, we've been talking about praying, and it is about 5:15, 5:17, and we're going to close at 5:30, so we want to close in prayer, and we're just going to do simple popcorn prayers like we do at Rejoice Marriage Ministries, which means we can go back and forth, or we can just pray and do it one time or whatever, but we are just going to lift up not only Scott and Ann, Angela's, you've heard their stories today, but we know you out there are hurting, and you can relate to what we've been talking about with your children, with your spouses who are maybe silent right now or talking about marriage or talking about never, never coming home. Don't worry about what they're saying. You know, God is in control. Believe in your power of your God and deepen your walk with the Lord. I pray Scott and Angela both have challenged you to seek the Lord, and the only way you're going to do it is by just getting on your knees or sitting in your chair or going out on the back porch or on a log cabin or go to the ocean or wherever, get time with the Lord, and he will speak to you. If you keep crying out to him, he is faithful, and he just wants us to confess our sins and just ask for him to tell him you want to surrender your life to him and know him as Savior and Lord of your life. So we're going to open up with prayer and...
Charlene?
Yes.
This is Eddie. May I just say a quick word?
Yes.
I appreciate all the comments that's been made, but I don't feel worthy. I just am trying to be a servant of the Lord, and in my lifetime, I've been one that has been taught total faith until only recent years when we were young as children and we got sick. We didn't call for the doctor. We called for Mom and Daddy to lay their hands on us and pray for us, and we were healed. You know, that's great. But now in looking back, if we would have gone to a doctor, we may have been surprised at what we were healed from because we never knew. We only had the symptoms. Faith is a great thing, and we need to hold on to it. And just in regards to our meeting, I have never in my life heard the ministry and the word that is so compact and so much in one Bible study at any time. I hear more of the Word of God in the study than I do in many churches that I've been and heard dynamic sermon. You know, that's what we need more of, is the Word of God to be instilled in our hearts, that our faith would increase, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And I thank God for the day that I met Charlene and Bob and that they offered to me a chance to come and to join them. As they said, I've never married, but there is teaching that they give every week that I find that I need to apply to my life as a single person in knowing how to work and to communicate with people that I'm around. And I thank God for this ministry. I think it's a great thing, and I'm glad that God is blessing it. God bless you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Eddie, would you like to open up with prayer tonight?
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you in the name of Jesus, this is a day that we've been able to rejoice and to be exceedingly glad, Lord. We know that you said, as was already said, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Lord. May our faith so increase, Lord, that we can say to these mountains, be moved and cast into the sea, and never doubting and believing that you will do what you said, that you're faithful and you're just to do that. difficult for us to be able to proclaim the gospel of Christ. But Lord, may we be those silent witnesses that people will see the difference in our lives, that they will want to ask us and know what it is about us that makes us different, that makes us happy, and we can be able to proclaim the gospel to them, Lord. We pray that you'd continue to bless this ministry. Bless everyone that is on this line listening, Lord. We pray that their strength and their faith will be so increased today from this call, Lord, that they will be blessed, that they will share with others that there is a blessing in this ministry, that all they have to do is just tune in and open their hearts and accept what the Word says and believe that God is faithful and just to do that for us, Lord. We ask all of these things in your name.
Father God, I pray for every prodigal represented by the people who've listened today and the people who've spoken today. God, may you do as we've talked about today. May you continue to bring conviction. Lord, may you continue to heal marriages, and may you continue to draw people to the Savior, Jesus Christ. God, Charlene and I pray for your guidance, that we never go ahead of you, we never go behind you in this ministry, that we strive to stay in your will. In Jesus' name.
God, I pray for all the standers on the line, especially the standers on the line today. I pray that you lead them into resources that help them grow in their faith. I pray that you use your word to help strengthen them. I hope you comfort them in their struggles, and let them know that your plan is for salvation of everybody. I pray in Jesus' name.
Lord, it says in the Bible, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. And I just praise you and thank you that it says that we will tell of the power of your awesome works and we will proclaim your great deeds. And I just thank you that in the midst of all Bob and I went through our divorce and through marriage problems for 19 years of our marriage, up and down, that you have really being able to help so many people through what you taught me, and that I was able to share it with other people for these last many, many years. And Lord, I thank you that I've been able to have them find you as their Lord and Savior. It's not about Bob. It's not about Charlene. It's all about you and your mighty power and your love for us, and that you created the family. You created Adam, and then he needed Eve. And Lord, we're incomplete without our husband, our wives. And Lord, we just pray that you would go wherever all of these people's spouses are right now, that you would go touch them and open their spiritual hearts and minds and their eyes to receive the truth, and the truth is going to set them free. Lord, we need to walk in faith. We need to trust you, as it says in Proverbs chapter 3, to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding, but to in all ways acknowledge the Lord, and he will make our paths straight. Lord, these people do not know what to do from one day to the next with the circumstances that are coming against them in many different ways, but you have the answer. And if we will just, like Scott said, just cry out to you, you know, we can do it. You know, you're going to guide us, you're going to direct us, and as I used to cry out so many times, write it on the wall, Lord, I can't hear you, and you would always just, I open up my Bible, and there would be a scripture that would just seem to lift off the page and speak to my heart, and we just got to believe that God hates divorce. He says it. We need to believe and stand firm for our marriage and know we married for life, and that our spouses have gone on a detour road. They've been tempted. They've fallen. Many have fallen into sin. But we need to be the woman of God or the man of God that will not give up on you, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you that we can just keep seeking your face and crying out and growing in the Lord. Thank you for Angela coming back to the Lord. Thank you for Scott saving him, setting him apart, and becoming on fire for you and seeking you and growing. And Lord, we do grow. It's going to take us a time. You know, we're a baby when we're a Christian. Then we get to be 2 years old and 3 years old. But you know what? It's like I said when we talk about school starting. You know, are you in college? Are you in high school? Are you in elementary school? It doesn't matter. Lord loves us all. And we just need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes off of the circumstances and keep walking in faith and trusting. And Lord, we just pray that you will just do a mighty work in all of these people's lives that are just listening here and crying and saying it's so hard, you know, because of the bills, because of our home being foreclosed on, because I've lost my job, or they're threatening that I'm going to lose my job, or that I have children that are just crying out for their mom or dad. If you just give your problems to the Lord each and every day, talk to him throughout the day, just sentences, when you're washing dishes, when you're driving in the car, just talk to him and ask him questions. See, I don't expect an answer now, but I'm wondering about this. And wait for the answer, and he will speak to you. He will guide you. And Lord, I pray that every one of these people that are listening, and all the people that have not been able, but the thousands that receive these devotionals, that you will speak to them and anoint the words that we write down, that they will have the answers, and that they will grow to be mighty women of men and women of God, and that God does speak to them, and they, you will provide for them. You will be their physician, their provider, their healer. You will be all that they need. And we just thank you for that. We thank you that you are allowed us to be able to come together on a Sunday, because that used to be one of my hardest days. And I just praise you and thank you for all the people that have come here. Lord, touch the children. Have them come to know you as their Savior and Lord of their life, and have the faith as their mom and dad have and understand it. Help these teenagers to know you personally. Help go now and touch these prodigals. And may they come to their senses, escaping from the trap of the enemy. And may they get saved, sanctified, and just touched by the Lord. And they'll be obedient right now to be run out of the situation they're in and go to you and get right with you and then go home. Lord, nothing is too hard for you. You do speak to people. You do bring them back home. And yes, it's a process, and maybe they don't come home instantly, but never, never give up on the process and forgiving them and loving them unconditionally forever. And we just give you the praise and the glory of all what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If we can help you in any way, we invite you to visit the website of Rejoice Marriage Ministries at www.rejoiceministries.org. Thanks for joining us today as we proclaim that God heals hurting marriages.